Blog Talk Radio.
Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible. Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality.
It's Tuesday evening in South Africa. How awesome is that? Welcome everyone. I'm so looking forward to this evening's call and, well, call show. And you know what's interesting for me? I've done this show for so many weeks, and it's more than a year, going on 2 years. And on the back end, I get this this call that says, or the countdown that says, the show will go live in 5 seconds. And tonight, especially, when I heard that countdown, my body was tingling all over. And you know why? Because our guest this evening is Anne Clark. Now, for those of you that don't know her yet, hold on to your seats because it's going to be a phenomenal show. What I'm waiting for is just for Anne to join us on the call. I know she has dialed in, and it might be a moment, a matter of seconds before we can actually hear her live. So I was fortunate enough to see her live in person June this year when she came to host the, I almost want to say the welcoming team for Dr. Dane here in South Africa while he did his Being You, Changing the World class in Johannesburg. And it was just so phenomenal to actually see her, put her face to the name, and also just be able to hug and melt in her warm, warm hug. So I'm going to just see what is keeping her holding. And let me see. And then I'll check back with you now. And there I was muting myself. So how funny is that? Okay, so it seems like Anne's Skype is not connecting. So she's just going to dial in. There we go. So while she dials in, I am just going to tell you a little bit more about what our topic is this evening. So Anne is going to talk to us about who is choosing for you. And that is one topic that I have been playing with myself in this last month, looking at everywhere where I was being something other than what I am. And the me that I know that I am is this space of joy and happiness and ease. So from that space, if I'm not that, then normally it's a case of I am not choosing for me at that time. Okay, so let's see. See, Anne, he might hear the Skype notifications beeping in the background. Let me just see. Alrighty. Okay, so she is having some hassle getting onto the call. And what else is possible? I'm going to just let you listen to some music and maybe listen to some Dane here while I sort her out in the background.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
It is so interesting what I've seen so far. When we started the show with some technical difficulties, it has turned out to be a show beyond even what I have even imagined. Not that every show is not like that. So, yes, if you are just going to be patient for me for a little while, I am going to make sure that we get Anne onto this show this evening. And you know what? What if we all could contribute to whatever technical glitches and gremlins there might be crawling through the interwebs and, you know, actually hindering this show with Anne to happen this evening? And what else is possible? Cool. So let us see if she has come right. Okay. Apparently not yet. How does it get any better? I am going to just play some. I do have an older show available that I would like to just play while I get Anne on the line. How does it get any better? So you'll be listening to one of my other favorite people called Patty Alfonso. She actually does a class called Pole Dancing for Consciousness. And we recently had her on the 10 Days Off Summit, and her whole 10 days just blew my world wide open. So listen a little bit to Patty, and I'll be with you shortly.
And I just put my closet here until we sell this house. So between trips, I come here and I, you know, unwind and get some work done. And, you know, until we sell the house, I'll just keep my closet here for now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A Puerto Rican closet. I like that.
Yeah.
Imagine having a closet in every country.
You know what? That is exactly one of my targets. That I can have a closet to go visit wherever, you know. I'd love a closet in Europe. I'd love a closet in Australia, a closet in America. Those are my three kind of places right now where I'd love to have a closet that I can go be at between trips, you know.
That's phenomenal. That's really awesome. So I'm going to get us started, if that's okay with you. Yay. Hi, Anne.
Hello, and good evening. Can you hear me?
I can, clearly.
No,
it's so awesome. Just before you came on the line, I said, well, everybody, let's contribute to the gremlins and whatever. And just look, here you are. How awesome
Thank
is that?
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. Talk about a hellish... I was like, puck and pod myself. Puck. Okay, what else is possible? I love when these opportunities arise to use the tools. I just would prefer it wasn't public.
Oh, that is so awesome. It reminds me actually of before we get started and I introduce you, because I most likely will lose this thought. I heard Gary say today, and there it went. Isn't that interesting? But it was a question that he asked about creating circumstances in your life where you can use the capacities and ask for the capacities that you do know of and might not know of, to where those can actually then be used. And this is kind of what you just opened up for me there as well. So how awesome is that?
And it's also when it comes to the choosing, when it doesn't go as smoothly as you'd like it to go, to be able to choose anyway and use the tools and go, okay, well, what else is possible?
Awesome. So before we really get started into our show this evening, I have already told people about you, that I met you, how I met you, and that I got to hug you and touch your face. But for those people that might not know you and who you are and what it is that you do, would you kindly just tell us?
Well, my name is Anne, as you all know now, and this is interesting, actually, because biographies is something that has come up recently, and who are you and all of this, and I'm allergic to them. So I suppose how I'd best describe me is a new reality creator and a facilitator of change and a collector of hugs. And I am an Access Consciousness facilitator, and it's been my total joy for the last 4 years to play with those tools and play with the people I meet in relation to that, and be very different with the people I meet who have no idea what Access is. I'm able to be a very different person around that. So I facilitate class, I create classes, I co-host, I host classes, I play with whatever shows up. And I suppose it's one of the reasons I tend to be reluctant to say who I am or what I've done, because I've pigeonholed. I don't like that.
defining. Yeah.
But I have the joy of, as you know, I got to get to South Africa with you guys, and I get to go to these amazing places, or I choose to go to these amazing places and play with these amazing people. So that's and I will answer any question about me. It's not that I'm reluctant to say who or what I am and what I do. It's just, where would you start?
Yes. Well, one question I like asking whenever I think of you is, where in the world is Anne today?
Anne is in Scotland. Anne is in a very sunny Scotland today. It was an exceptionally beautiful day. And I'm looking out now on the most gorgeous Scottish... One of the things I love about Scotland is the skies. They're panoramic, and you can see about 5 different skyscapes in one turn of the head. So they're peaches and oranges and lavenders and indigos, because we're setting some time here at the moment. So it's very gorgeous out the window.
Wow. Oh, that sounds all kinds of yummy. So, Anne, I was wondering about your topic and, you know, what it is that you are hoping to maybe invite us to during the show today.
I think the biggest invitation I would like to make for anybody at any time is, with who's choosing for you, is who is it that you are choosing for? And have you ever even stopped to look at that or to wonder about that or to ask questions about that? I'm 4 years now into being an Access Consciousness facilitator, and this is a really tricky topic. And it's really in the last 4 months, 4 weeks, 4 days that I'm going, okay, so who am I choosing for? I'm choosing this. Why? And it's as you choose, it becomes more apparent to me anyway. As I choose, I can say, all right, well, was that actually my brightest choice? Where was that choice coming from? And a lot of the time in observing other people, I'm seeing that so many people don't choose for themselves. They would have no idea what that is. And I can say that because 4 years into using these tools, I'm like that a lot of the time. I'm like, okay, what is propelling this choice? You know, what's behind this choice? And it's just a choice. It's not right or wrong, good or bad. But I find it fascinating to see what shows up when people are willing to choose for them and just play with that. And sometimes it's very uncomfortable.
Okay.
It can be very uncomfortable, and it is the single best gift you can give yourself, in my opinion, is to play with and to start to choose for you.
Okay, and I think you've actually touched on something that, you know, I still come across when I teach and you know, even on the show or daily interaction, is what is actually the action of choice. I'm hoping that you can talk more about that, because I guess who is choosing for you. But what I also am aware of is how much people are not, I don't want to say cognitively choosing, but it's almost having to backpedal a bit and say, all right, so you getting up in the morning or waking up in the morning is a choice. You having a cup of coffee is a choice. You know, so what can you say about getting out of the automatic movement, you know, that we kind of have as a day-to-day?
Yeah, it's getting out of that autopilot. And, you know, where on the spectrum are we willing to become conscious about the choices we're making? So we can, you know, bumble along on the autopilot, and that's fine. And it tends to be that we will choose when we're in crisis. It tends to be we'll choose when we're given an ultimatum. And my question today would be, what if you chose just for the fun of it? What if you chose because it worked for you? What if you chose because you'd like to create something different for yourself and the planet you live on? What if it didn't have to be, you know, a crisis or a panic before you chose something? So I love Access's, Gary Douglas's and Access's definition of consciousness, which is consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. So that straight away gets us off the hook in terms of worrying about a right or a wrong way to do this. It's just, okay, so what can I choose that works for me? So it involves a certain amount of sitting with yourself and going, well, what do I actually care about? What do I want to achieve today? And this is where I'm saying it is a really tricky topic, because I wake up in the morning, and oftentimes it's a case of, you know, who am I and what grand and glorious adventure will I have today? And then there's the mornings where I woke up, and this morning was a bit like that, where, you know, first thing I do is open the computer, and my day can get dictated by other people's emails. And that's a choice too. So it's where do you start choosing for you, and how soon before you get out of the bed in the morning can you start choosing for you?
Okay, awesome. I just saw so much in that, because yes, I tend to go for number two. The moment my eyes kind of seem to be open, I immediately am on the computer looking at what is required here. And I do get that choosing, you know, almost that moment of being awake and looking at what you create in your day could also contribute so much more. I know for me, it certainly would. So thank you so much for mentioning that.
And it's a completely different energy also between that efforting of, right, I am choosing this because, you know, this and this has to get done, or I'm choosing to do this because, you know, I said I would. And what I've noticed in myself is the difference between that efforting and choosing from there. And as you say, that taking that couple of extra seconds, minutes in the morning or at any time of the day, take a deep breath and go, okay, what else is possible here? What would it look like if I chose for me? Get a sense of that and then follow the pull. Follow the pull of what draws you, as opposed to this efforting to get something done. And qualitatively, the energies are very different. And when you start to play with it, you get more and more familiar with what works for you in terms of an energy to follow, and what you know is just not your brightest choice. Does that make sense?
It does. It sure does. So I'm curious as well, if you, when I've heard people say, well, I can't choose this because I need to work, I need to earn an income, I need to do this, I can't just give all of that up and go and live and create by the ocean because that's what I love doing. So
we are such a funny species, because we tend to go from one extreme to the other. It's like, you know, people expecting to be, it's just bizarre, you know, we've been messing ourselves over for 4 trillion years, and yet we somehow expect that one choice is going to cure all. So I suppose I'd put it that, so what choice can I make now that will make a difference? Okay, my target might be I'd like to work and live by the beach in a tropical island. Okay, I'm currently in the northeast of Scotland. So what choice can I make now that will contribute to my desire now and in the future? And follow that pull, follow the energy, and then, okay, so what choice now can I make? And I suppose I could give the example of when I heard about the Access Consciousness tools first, I heard it on a webinar. And I'd spent 20 odd years seeking and searching and being there, done that, and got the T-shirt and the deck of cards and the meditation stool and the everything else I could possibly get, looking to sort myself out. So when I heard the Access tools first, it was on a webinar, and I thought, and if you don't realize you have the answers at this point, nothing else is actually going to help you, you know, that kind of way. And yet 24 hours, there was something about what the facilitator said that was pulling at me. And I suppose it was more the energy of what she didn't say that was pulling at me than what she did. But at the time then, I flew from Scotland to Ireland to have my bars done. And I had 2 young kids under the age of 2. Neither myself nor my partner were working. So in terms of the world of choice, this was not one I should be making. Do you know what I mean? It was in defiance of all of this reality's points of view of what is, you know, the proper thing to do. I had 2 young kids, I had a teenager, neither of us were working, and here's me deciding, right, I'm off to have my bars run, and try explaining that to anybody. And then I flew back a month later and did the 5-day class. Now, at the time, there was nothing I could say to anybody that would explain why that was my best choice, to explain why this was the best thing for me and my family. In fact, it looked like the complete opposite to everybody else. But from my point of view and the energies that it brought up in my world, I couldn't afford not to. So it's, you will have everybody, you know, it's to choose for you in the face of everybody else's points of view, regardless of what everybody else's points of view is. And I suppose the biggest invitation I would have for anybody who's listening to this now or later is, you know, this is your life. You know, this is your life, and whether you believe in reincarnation or you believe that it's a one-time thing, either way, what do you want to do with it? You know, do you really want to be doing what you're doing? Is there something else? Is there something you could add to your life? it's funny that we go from this thing of extremes of going, oh, but, you know, it's, you know, I can't just magic this, or I can't just choose that and, you know, abandon my children, or the conclusions and the judgments and the expectations that we glump onto what choosing for us actually means. And it's the insidious nature of this reality, I suppose, and the programming that we buy into at a very young age, that I'm looking to ask people to question, I suppose.
It is just so phenomenal. I adore, as I tell people that I met you, but it, in real life or like this, I just adore, you know, the ease that you are opening up as a term in terms for me to choose that, and everyone else listening. So how did we get to be so lucky to have an Anne in this world now? And what I was,
trust me, four men don't share your point of view. But it's just such there comes a tipping point as well. When you're willing to choose for you, there comes a tipping point where, and everybody knows this, that's what I love about access. It's enabling people to know that they know. And everybody knows this. Everybody has felt the red flag go up, you know, when they've made a choice. And they've, you know, gone on past it and carried on regardless to its disastrous conclusion.
Yeah.
And what if that's not wrong? And what if we go, okay, not my brightest choice. What else can I choose here? And everything gets more joyful. All of the icky, sticky, icky bits just get funnier and funnier because there's more space around you to look and go, we really are the funniest species on the planet. We are completely insane when you look at what we choose and why we choose it. So I suppose I'm asking, you know, what else is possible? And how much more fun could you be having?
And that, you know, is what is also so nice.
You might feel that you're, you know, you're compelled to this 9-to-5 job because, you know, you have these dependents, you have this. So, okay, if that's your point of view, how much more fun could you have with your day? How many more people could you smile in at the in the elevator going, you know, to your floor? Or how many people could you mess with just by smiling? Like, I challenge all of you, go into your jobs tomorrow and smile from one end of the day to the other. Don't say, hey, just smile, be yourself and just smile and see how many people it freaks out. and just play with it, because you don't have to. You know, people, facilitators, of which there are so many phenomenal facilitators in Access, you know, they're offering you choice. Is not a challenge to, you know, leave your life, leave your partner, leave your job, leave your health, you know, to prove that you're choosing. It's like, what if it's as simple as smiling at more people in the morning? What if it's as simple as engaging in eye contact, you know, in the elevator rather than looking at the floor? What if that energy is a contribution to everybody in the lift and their mornings are different? You know, it doesn't have to be this monumental thing. It could be something quite small, and then it builds.
It's almost as if the smaller things invite more ease for the bigger choices as well.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And that, what's interesting is the sky doesn't actually fall on your head when you choose for you.
It doesn't?
No. No, it really doesn't. People might be upset that you're no longer a doormat because you know, it was so much easier when you were acquiescing last week and now you're saying no. So, you know, there is that contrast. And I found the biggest thing is that you're actually invalidating other people's reality. And that's where the funny energies can come up, is because you're standing there and you're choosing different to what they've been entrained to believe is possible, and that then invalidates their reality, and you have to question. And what if that is a gift rather than a challenge? What if that can be an invitation rather than, you know, somehow somebody pointing the wrongness of you? What if it's an invitation to something different?
Mm-hmm. And in moments like those, what are some of the tools that you then use if you are aware of, you know, the possible conflict? What tools do you use?
One of the ones I use a lot, say, for example, with my partner, because he would have a very different point of view on life, the universe and everything to be. One of the things I use a lot is everywhere I think I know anything about this person, destroy and uncreate it all. Everywhere I think I know what they're going to say, everywhere I think I know what their reaction to what I'm doing is going to be, I just destroy and uncreate anything and everything that is. And then right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And I imagine most of your listeners are familiar with the clearing statement. And for those that aren't, if you go to www.theclearingstatement.com, it will explain that. But without the clearing statement, if you're willing to look at this and go, right, this is a different 10 seconds. This is a different choice. If I have the right to choose and if I have the right to be different, so does everybody else. And that's one of the things that I suppose informs a lot of my choices, because I'm willing to be aware of what is. I'm always looking to see what actually is rather than how I'd like it to be for a start. And then destroy and uncreate all the conclusions that I have, because I was the world champion at concluding things and glumping everything together and thinking things through to their natural disastrous conclusion. I was just champion. I was brilliant. And one of the greatest gifts Access has given me is, you know, destroying and uncreating all those conclusions, judgments, the expectations, the separations and the rejections that we might have of ourselves, of the other person, of the situation. And it's a wonderful tool to use, you know, with your partner, with your work situation, starting your day. That's one of the ones I've been using a lot recently, is destroying and uncreating all the projections, judgments, expectations, separations and rejections I have. And I start with me and then I work my way out.
Okay. Oh, that is a lovely tool. That truly is. So in those moments of crisis, mm-hmm. where we actually get to look at the choices that we have, would you say that those are the moments where we also do not choose for us?
Yeah, a lot of times we choose to keep the peace, don't we?
Yeah.
That so often it's, and we know at the time that it's really not our brightest choice. And what I would suggest folk do there is look at, okay, what is this actually creating for me now? But what is it creating for the future? So we find ourselves going around in circles at times. You know, it's a different set of people or a different job or different whatever, but the energy is the same. And if you make a choice that's actually choosing for you, could that break that? Would that break that once and for all? If you acquiesce and go, well, you know, I'm going to keep the peace, I'm not going to give my point of view, or I'm not going to choose for me, what tends to happen is you find yourself in the same situation 3 days or 3 weeks later. So mm-hmm. what if choosing for you now, what if as soon as you choose for you, changes not only your future, but changes the future of those around you? And the single biggest gift in choosing for you is it allows everybody else to do the same. It's an invitation to everybody else to do the same. And that's one of the things I have witnessed in my life. And yeah, at times choosing for you will mean that you're ostracized and, you know, everybody's having a bit of a moan and a groaning about you. It's like, oh, there she is again, off on her high horse. And lo and behold, you know, 6 days later, 6 months later, the sky hasn't fallen in on you. You're ridiculously happy for no apparent reason. And they're all going, oh, well, maybe she has a point. And, you know, I give an example. for example, when I was 21, I chose not to spend Christmas with my family. You know,
okay.
And this is like, what do you mean you're not? You know, what do you mean you're not spending? Of course, you spend Christmas with your family. It's like, no, I'm not. It's miserable. You know, I don't. I want to choose something else. So you get ostracized for a little while, and the hootish thing, blah blah blah. But then, what did everybody do next year? They all chose where they wanted to be for Christmas. Everybody else. So what if choosing for you is not only a gift for you, it's also a gift and an invitation for everybody else?
Wow. Okay. That is so interesting. You know, because I'm looking at families and families not necessarily being an allowance. So maybe that is something we can talk about in terms of who's choosing for you and being an allowance of, you know, being ostracized as an example. How do you bring allowance in with choosing for you?
The first person I have to have allowance for in choosing for me is me. Reminding myself that this is my life. I am creating it as I go. The problems, the good, the bad, and the ill, I'm creating it with my choices. So more and more these days in particular, I'm going, okay, so what does it look like for me to have allowance for me in this choice? And then when you're making the choice and others feel they are adversely affected or don't agree with your choice or are just think it's completely abhorrent what you're choosing, it's like, yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. Thank you for caring and carry on. And are you willing to choose and carry on? And are you willing to choose again? And are you willing to choose and change your mind and for that to be okay?
Wow. Okay.
I had a situation recently where I had a family member who, you know, really had a point of view about, you know, choices I was making and, you know, had concerns. And I said to them, well, your concerns are exactly that. They're yours. They're none of my business. And thank you for caring. I really get that you care. And your concerns are none of my business. Your worries are none of my business. They're yours.
Okay.
That can be a bit of a cold bucket of water in the face, but it's true. And it snaps people out of the insanity of this reality. And you can actually laugh a lot more when you see, like, I mean, look at the choices we make on autopilot. Look at what we choose to do on autopilot. If you sat down this evening and wrote, you know, your five most favorite things to do, how many of them are you actually doing? How long is it since you've done any of those? You know, the people you would choose to be with, how many of those are you in contact with on a regular basis? Are you choosing to be with people because you don't want to offend them, or are you choosing to be with people like look at me choosing to go to South Africa for a weekend. Do you know what I mean? That's insane in terms of this reality's perspective. It's ridiculous to go to South Africa for a weekend and not even go sightseeing. I mean, what's doing? You know, that kind of way. And there was nowhere else on the planet I would have rather been that weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't care if that doesn't make sense to anybody else. It doesn't actually bother me anymore. From people's point of view, doesn't actually bother me anymore. And yeah, stuff comes up and we have wobbly. So it's like this morning, I was like thinking about the radio show this morning and I got in this really funny space. And I was sitting on the chair and I was like, oh, that's really odd. I would normally be really excited about, you know, the radio show this evening. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, not liking this, really not liking this. And I couldn't move on the couch for a while. I was like, okay, what else is possible? And I wasn't laughing at the time, let me tell you. I felt like I had, you know, so many things across the board that needed my attention. And I had two sick kids in the house and there was this and there was that. And I was sitting on the couch and I was going, ah. And then using the tools dialing a friend, getting them to ask me a question, I realized like most of what was going on had nothing to do with me. It's that where we're being the psychic SpongeBob of the universe and we're picking everything up from everywhere else. And choosing your way back to you, if that makes sense. Choosing my way back to me in terms of choosing to call a friend, choosing to get them to ask me a question, my choosing to use the tools, my choosing to pod and pock myself, and it all shifted. Now, there was a time in my life that could have taken 6 months. There have been times in my life that could have taken 6 years. With the tools I have now, I can get to that by the end of a sentence. And that tipping point, I think, is there for everybody. You know, and the tools are so, that willing to be in the question is so pragmatic. It's so deceptively simple. And in terms of autopilot, I think it's a huge gift just to go, okay, well, why am I choosing this? It's one of the reasons, like, I, you know, as I said to you when we were choosing the topic for the call, I hear Gary in my head on so many occasions going, and you would choose that for what reason?
Yeah.
And I just start laughing because it's so right. It just fills me with joy when I hear my head, because I'm like, you're absolutely this is insane. I am being so insane in this second. And I guess that other people around me think that I'm the crazy one. I get that. But for me to acquiesce to this reality just because it's what everybody else does, I can't do that anymore. I just don't fit that particular mold anymore. And what a joy, because you see, I see the changes around me, even if it's people choosing for them a week later, a day later, a couple of years later. And people will say to me, you know, I thought you were off your head. I thought you were completely crazy, you know, and yet they've chosen something different in their life. They've chosen to do something they thought wasn't possible, or they thought their mother would never approve of. Like the amount of adults that I see that won't choose because their mommy or daddy won't choose. And then these, we're talking about 30 and 40 year old people. It has to be something else possible. It has to be.
Oh, that's so funny. But it seems like, you know, people are prepared or willing to have joy in certain aspects of their lives. At the moment, it comes to choosing. It has to be so serious. You know?
Yeah. What if it didn't? What if you could choose to be like, what if you could choose, okay, what choice could I make that is so out of my comfort zone? You know, what can I choose to wear that would be, just play with it. What if it wasn't the monumental right, I have to change my relationship, my job, my car, the country I live in? Because it's the insidiousness of the insanity of this reality is something as simple as the direction you take to work in the morning. How often do you change that? How often do you change where you go for coffee? How often do you change the person you have a conversation with over coffee?
Oh, wow.
And how much fun would you have if you chose just one little thing different in the day? Like, as they say, smile at somebody. Ask somebody a question. Pay somebody a compliment. I had somebody say to me a year or two ago at a bar share, I'm going, you know, it's so easy to be different and, you know, make a difference. And he's like, what do you mean? That's not easy. And I'm going, but it is, you know, you could just smile at somebody to me, that's not difficult, but apparently in this reality it is. It's like, what if just, I don't know, asking somebody how they are and actually standing there long enough to hear the answer.
Wow.
You know, say what's up and be there long enough to hear the answer and know that it's not your responsibility. Whatever the answer is, it's got nothing to do with you. that their day is going well or their day is going badly or their day is going whatever. But you, the difference you be, the energy you are, could contribute to their day. And they could contribute to you.
It's not necessarily aligning or agreeing with what they are saying.
No.
So I'm curious. Okay.
No, I find nodding and smiling works wonders.
Okay. I hear you. That's
indeed.
Really? Yeah, and one of the other questions that I've heard someone ask before is, so how's that working for you? And I'm going, oh, that is such a yummy question to ask.
That is
all their trauma and drama. So we were talking a little bit, we touched on how family, friends, and even our cultures influence the choices that we make. And over and above that, getting to choose for us, one of the other words that generally is associated with that as an action is being selfish. So I'm curious, what can we change regarding that as a perception?
Well, it ties in with that access tool of everything's the opposite of what it appears to be and nothing's the opposite of what it appears to be for me. Because as Alice in Wonderland says, completely contrary-wise, in my point of view, not choosing for you is selfish. Because all you're going to do is add to the trauma and drama of this reality. You're just going to create chaos because you're just heaping more insanity on top of what you didn't like in the first place. So whereas when you choose for you, at least one person is happy.
Okay.
You choose for you, at least you know you're happy. No hope of making everybody else happy. At least you know you're happy. So that's one more person in the world that's happy. So if we work on that premise alone, if everybody was willing to choose for them, that would be a very different world.
I like that. I really do. Awesome. So I'm wondering as well, not actually wondering, I know something that people listening to the show might not know yet, is that I'll be hosting you on the 10 Days of Sun at one of these beautiful days. And I am so excited about that because our topic for the 10 days is, permission to live your life.
Yes. In fact, let's not wait till then. Let's not wait till the start of our 10 days together. Let's just give everybody permission to live their life here and now. If you are waiting for a sign or permission, we hereby give it to you. Go forth and live your life. You don't have to listen to the 10 days. We'd love to have you along, but please go forth and live your life.
Awesome. I just love it. So a typical end day, waking up in wherever you are in the world, what would you say are some of your favorite tools that you're playing with at the moment?
As I say that, destroying and uncreating the judgments, separations, rejections, expectations, all of that is one I'm using an awful lot. I have two generations of children, so I have a 16-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a soon-to-be 6-year-old. So I get to use the tools a lot, and they are my greatest facilitators. So another tool I use a lot is everywhere I'm defending for or against something, I'll destroy and uncreate that. Because again, when we're dealing with family and when we're choosing for us, at times we've made a choice and then we fall into the requirement to justify the choice or explain the choice. So what I would use there is everywhere I'm defending for or against anything with this, I'll destroy and uncreate it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. Sorry, I can't do the destroying and creating without following through. So those are two. And it's really interesting that when you play with the questions and the tools, in the beginning, I get that it can seem like, oh, but I have to think of that and I have to ask a question and I have to do a process. And it really is actually less time consuming, more joyful to be in the question and use a process if it's required. But as Gary would say, choice trumps process. So if you are willing to choose, regardless of how big or small the choice is, that trumps any process. Just choose and choose again and choose again and go, okay, that wasn't my best choice. Now what do I choose? And it becomes easier to be in the question, and it becomes easier to ask a question of you or the other person than the contracted nature of being in autopilot. That's one of the big differences I found when I went from my concluding things to their natural disastrous conclusion to using questions and being in the question and asking what energy, space and consciousness can me and my body be for this to come to fruition with total ease, for example. There came a point where for me to react in the way I used to react would actually just be physically painful. It would mean I'd have to contract so much energetically and physically that it would hurt me. And it was a real eye-opener in terms of how we cause disease in our body and how that whole circle starts to get created and perpetrated on ourselves and others. Just start simple. Just start with what else is possible. If you see yourself going towards that autopilot of whatever, you know, going for coffee with somebody you don't particularly want to have a conversation with, but you're going because you want to keep them happy, or you're going because you don't want to be rude, and all those things that we were brought up, you know, to believe was the right inverted commas way to do things. What if you just stopped and go, you know, look, do I actually want to do this? And what if you choosing for you meant that they were off the hook as well? Maybe they didn't want to go for coffee that day. What if you choosing for you is actually a gift to those around you, regardless of what they tell you in the first 10 seconds of your choice?
Okay, awesome. Okay, so one more thing that I think we can maybe, because we're getting towards the end of the show, I also can see that people say, well, I make a choice. So choice means I have thought this through and I've taken these actions and I'm implementing these actions. But for me, it seems that there's a lot more to choice than, you know, just what we have also decided it to be. So could you also talk about the energetics of choice and choosing?
Well, that's actually something I'm playing with an awful lot since I attended the Nine Trannies class in Copenhagen this year. And what I was looking at for me was, if it's familiar to me and if I'm comfortable with it, or if it's something I recognize or it seems like serendipity, then it's not what I personally am after. My desire is to be an energy that I have not been known, perceived, or received before, so that I can create something different. For me personally, everything I see in this reality just strikes me as completely insane, and I'd like to change it all. So what energy can I be that nobody else is being? What energy can I be today that I wasn't willing to be yesterday? And playing with that. And then, you know, something like this morning comes up and the energy is really uncomfortable. And I said to the pal I called, you know, who facilitated me and asked me questions, I said, you know, I'm really grateful that I feel so uncomfortable. I felt hideously uncomfortable. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. And at the same time, I was really grateful for it because it's different. I know something is changing. And then it was a case of looking at, okay, is this the change I've been asking for? And it's showing up in a way I didn't think was possible or different to how I supposed it to be. What would it be like if you were actually kinder to yourself in choosing? What if there was a kinder energy we could be with our choices? Oftentimes as well, when you suggest choice to people, they see it as they have to choose against somebody else. Mm-hmm. And what if that isn't it at all? What if you know, in terms of the kingdom of we, what if there was a kindness you could bring to choice? What if it was a kindness to yourself and the planet that you were actually willing to choose for you? And what could that create that's different?
Yummy. That is just so yummy. My whole body's just tingling. I'm kind of like champagne at the moment.
We like champagne. Yay. We like
bubbles. We do like champagne. Awesome. This is kind of the end of the show, and you have given us so many phenomenal questions and tools and, you know, energies to play with. And you most likely have given what I'm going to ask you now, but I do like ending the show on the following question. Mm-hmm. So what is obvious to you about choosing for you that might not be that obvious for me or the listeners listening now and in the future?
Well, what comes to mind when you ask me that question is what's obvious to me now about choosing for me is that it is actually the only thing I can do. I'm still in the question in terms of, okay, where did that choice actually come from? But in the moment, I'm choosing for me. And then it might become apparent, you know, down the road that, oh, actually, was that really my, or was I looking to make somebody feel better? But now it's just come to a time in my life where there isn't anything else to do other than choose for me, because not doing that isn't going to create what I would like to create in the world. It's not, choosing for me makes me happy, ridiculously happy, ridiculously happy. And, you know, happy seems to me to be the way forward. Do you know what I mean? So I think, yeah, what if choosing for you isn't the challenge that you perceive it to be? What if it could be fun? What if it could be easy? What if you could start a new trend in your family or in your workplace or with your siblings? And how much fun and enjoyment could you, what if you just turned it into a game? What if it didn't have to be a big deal? What if you could choose something easy and fun and build on that and make your next choice and celebrate others' choices, even if it be an allowance of other people's choices, and celebrate what they choose and celebrate the fact that they're choosing for them, regardless of how insane or daft you think they are, because you'd be sure somebody thinks the same thing about you. So, you know, I love it when I see people choosing for them. And it's palpable. You know yourself being in a room when you're facilitating and somebody chooses to let something go that has been a rock they've carried around for 6 or 60 years. It's palpable, the space, the shift in the energy when somebody chooses to let it go. So what if you chose to let go the thought or the point of view that you can't choose for you? And anything that doesn't allow you to do that, please destroy and create it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and puck, all night and shorts, boys and beyonds.
Wee. And wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much again.
Fun.
A thousand apologies for not getting on time. But the joy is technology. And again, opportunity to use the tools.
Exactly.
I'm really looking forward to our 10 days. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
I'm really grateful for the invitation.
It's a pleasure. I will also send out the link to your 10 days in the email for the replay going out. And also, how can people get hold of you and connect with you?
Well, through the Access Consciousness site, www.accessconsciousness.com. They can find me there, or my own website is accessfornow.com. And on Facebook, I'm Access For Now, and Twitter, I'm Access For Now. And I'd just like to point out, I was just realizing here before we close, that if I had chosen from the space I was in this morning on the couch, I wouldn't have the joy and excitement and just yumminess that I'm feeling in saying goodnight and goodbye to you now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're worlds apart in terms of energies and places and spaces to sit in. And it's the same person. It was me sitting on the couch this morning. It's me thrilled to have spent the last hour with you now. So what if choice does create? What else is possible?
I will definitely have more of that as well. Thank you so much, Aim.
It was so much fun having you on
this show. And with that, it's good night and goodbye to everyone listening as well. And yes, we'll chat soon. Bye, Anne. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.